This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 14th, episode 1277, brought to us by auditors, listeners like you. Thank you very much. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Jamie, I saw yesterday the Storm of Norman, your big giraffe. You were actually doing something with him. Is his knee all healed up?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got the all clear from the vet to start doing a kind of a back to work program. And it's about 10 minutes of walk and 10 minutes of trot. And to tell a horse that's been on stall rest for like a month, just walk and trot for 10 minutes each. Yeah.
You mean he's not allowed to buck and carry on?
Nobody told him that, though. Yes, I posted a picture of him yesterday. I decided to start line driving him. I thought it was probably a little safer to line drive him than sit on him. So I started line driving, and I was so surprised that he's never done it before, or he's either done it before and not had a good experience or never done it before, because he started out very tense, you know, so I kind of showed him the ropes and flopped him all over, and he's fine with that. He's not super sensitive to stuff like that. But when I started asking him to move forward and then I disappeared behind him, That's when he did not like it. So I would try to disappear and reappear and make some turns and stuff. And I thought, well, I'll just do some like walking around the arena with me behind him. That did not go so well. And Chad was out there, and I'm like, just take a picture so I can document that I'm got him back to work and I can show the vet that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you know? So he takes a picture, and it was like right after the picture was taken, Norman's like, okay, I'm done. I posed for my photo. And he took off running and bucking. He broke my surf single. Thank you very much. Double barreled into the air, flew upwards and landed. And then, of course, I thought, well, we're gonna line drive on a circle. So he ended up lunging on a circle. And I tried to do as much walk as possible. And he did not canter, but he definitely was like, this is too constrictive for a horse that has been in the stall. He does still have some puffiness in the leg, and his knee is a little bit bigger. And the vet said that that's probably going to stay like that. He's going to have just a little bit of extra fill there in the bone, probably some remodeling that happened because of the infection. So, you know, it is what it is. And we're just going to keep going and see what we have afterwards, but he didn't die. So that's good.
Yeah, he didn't die. That's good. And, you know, when you ground drive, of course, we have to ground drive all the horses that we eventually drive in the carriages. And you do put the blinders on or the blinkers on the first time. That's always interesting, too.
That would be terrifying. You know what? I'm going to take all your vision away.
Well, usually what they try and do is just turn around on you. I mean, they don't usually bolt. They just turn around on you. And then it's hard to accomplish anything, though, when you're both facing the same direction.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah. He did get around on me a couple times yesterday. And Chad's like, God, I love having a husband that is interested, but it's also kind of frustrating when he goes, is he supposed to be facing you right now? No, he's not. Or when he double barreled into the air, of course, I'm way out of the kick zone. You know, I'm not stupid. I know this is going to be a challenge. And he double barrels like that. He's like, He's on the sideline because he's like, oh my God. You know, like the gasp that happens. Like, I don't need your attention. Okay. But you know what? I got to tell you that seeing, take it back to my summer, I just never would have had the confidence to deal with this big old 17-2 hand horse had I not been at Monty Roberts over the summer. Because some of the stuff that happens when you're training them, the big bucks and the spinning around and stuff, you know, that stuff happens to professionals too. That stuff happens to Monty Roberts. I mean, my God, they just released a video of him getting kicked in our class. So it's like stuff happens and it's not just happening to just me. You know, like, I'm not the only one in the world who got their horse spun around. And like at one point, the rope got under his tail. And he's like, that's probably why he bucked in the first place. And I'm like, I said what Monty says. Well, that was in there. Good thing we got it out.
That's funny. I love the fact that Dr. Ellen, our cancer friend doctor from New York City, was really worried about your sunscreen level. She's concerned about you.
I love her, but she literally treats me like I'm her child.
Well, you know, she sees it every day, I guess. And
I know. I love it. I'm like, trust me. I live in Arizona. I don't go out without 50 on. I learned the first year I lived here because I was new to it. And the 4 or 5 massive sunburns I got, which probably aged me 10 years, I've learned.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ellen, for caring. We appreciate that.
Dr. Ellen, Mama. Yep. Dr. Mama.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? You got a jam-packed show today.
On today's auditor-powered Wednesday edition, creator of Fergus, Gene Abernathy, is going to stop by and tell us what Fergus has been up to of late.
Fergus.
Pretty cool stuff. Yay! And then it's off to vet school with our horse health report with real vet students provided by Rutgers University. And then continuing the horse health theme, Dr. Gordon Chang has some advice on keeping the winter woes from getting your horse down. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. The Daily Winnie Time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to our lovely auditor, Doreen Rose, and her lovely horse, Flora. They live on Long Island. She's a teacher up there, and she just won the reserve champion for first level in the IHA show series in dressage. So congratulations. They are so cute together. And maybe Jennifer can put a picture in the show notes or on Facebook, but congratulations to them. You get my Daily Winnie today because you guys deserve it. There's a pony that does not look like your typical dressage pony that is just kicking butt. It's just kicking butt.
Man, what kind of pony is it? Do you know?
I don't know. She told us before. And Jennifer, do you remember?
She's a Hofflinger, I believe.
She looks part, like, I don't know if she's full Hofflinger, though.
Yeah, I don't know either. Doreen, you're going to listen to this. Let us know, because we forget. Sorry. We have a few listeners. We forget, but
she is a Hofflinger. She's like a kind of one of the lighter ones I've seen.
Yeah, she must be bred with something else because most of the Hofflingers look like little tiny Belgians.
Yeah,
yeah. So
my student has one, and it's a little tank.
Yeah, yeah. They'll pull a cart down the road. Yeah, no problem. All right, your turn.
My Daily Winnie goes out to another listener, Angela Bailey. Angela Bailey, so sweet. I get this big box in the mail, and it is a box of fly masks for all the MASH horses. Oh. And they're all in great shape. And she said they were hanging around her barn, and she wanted to donate them to the horses down at MASH, because unlike the rest of the world, we still have a fly problem. My horses still wear fly masks every day because it's so freaking hot in the middle of the day. So they haven't all died yet. But what I want to know, Angela, is when I have a fly mask and I'm done with that fly mask, it's because it's in 47 different pieces.
Yeah, ours too.
And all of these fly masks are used and in perfect condition. So how exactly, what are you doing? I'm going to find these brand names. I'm going to buy all these, but I want to know, what are you doing to these fly masks to keep them so nice? My horses, like, they go out, like Edward and Joey go out and attack each other via fly mask. They like grab it and pull each other around with their fly mask.
That is Scooter's
the chew toy for horses.
That's Scooter's favorite thing to do with Beaker, is grab them by the fly mask and just pull.
Okay, so he's not the only one.
And so the other thing is the Velcro on ours always gets just totally worn out. By the time we're throwing that fly mask away, it's torn to shreds. Oh, and the other thing with fly masks that happens with ours, and we have several out there like this, is the black stuff, the edging, gets ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're
that
left
gets
with
ripped off. Yeah. The toppings, the Velcro, you know, those double Velcro. Yeah, I mean, just, I might as well just cut off the top one.
We have.
Yeah. That's what I do. Like, why continue
it
to unvelcro?
In the way and it's just hanging there flapping. And it just gives the other horse a handle to pull on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you put the fly mask on them and then they're in their stall for 10 minutes and they take it off and then they walk around on it and they get all the shavings and all the crap stuck in the Velcro, then the Velcro doesn't even work anymore. You got to like comb it out with a main comb. You can see that I've done all these.
I always love the days when because we have a lot of trees. I always love the days when you come out and the fly mask is hanging in the tree and you're going, how exactly did they do that?
Yep. We've irrigated and I'm like, oh, gosh, how long has this been here?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Angela, for sending me all these wonderful fly masks that are in great shape.
Well, I heard from another listener by the name of Rhonda, our legacy listener from Canada, and she wanted to get on the action with the Winnie competition that we're having. And all right, I'm prepared. We have to do the warning that if you're in the barn right now and have the radio cranking, there is a whinny coming, and it will make your horses tense. take a listen to this.
Oh my God!
That's what I said.
I'd have to sell that horse. I couldn't listen
to
that.
I asked her, I said, is that a donkey? And she said, he sounds so desperate when he gets left in and his buddies are still outside. So one more time, just...
Oh no. Oh my gosh, that's got to be at least a mule.
It does.
Bless its little heart. No wonder your friends don't want to leave you with it. You talk like that. Just kidding. Just kidding, Ron.
That it's one beautiful. we will not be using
on the birthday thing.
No.
Happy birthday.
Rhonda, I don't know about your horse.
Happy birthday.
I think there's anxiety issues or something there. It's Canada. Winter's coming. He's upset.
All right. Play my sound file. Here we go. You ready for this? We're going to play it a couple times, so keep your finger on the button. Okay. Here it is.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Did you recognize that quote?
Yes, from The Godfather.
Is it The Godfather? I've never even seen the. Yeah, it's The Godfather. I knew it was Godfather. Al Pacino and The Godfather. So play it again because I'm gonna tell you the story.
All right, hold on.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
After spending an entire summer at the barn in Kentucky, being a horse, California Chrome has shipped back to Los Alamitos, and he is going to go back in training with Art Sherman. Didn't you guys think he was retired?
I did. I thought he went to Dubai, and he didn't do well there, and he came home, and he was just good. He went to England then, right? And he didn't do well.
He did okay in Dubai. He came in second place in the Dubai World Cup, and then they sent him to England.
He came up lame.
He came up lame. It didn't go well. He lost a ton of weight. And so then they sent him back to America. Then they basically bought out the chit-chatty owner, you know, the guy that ran his mouth.
Caused all the trouble.
Yeah, that caused all the trouble. Basically, they fired that guy, the owner. They were like, we're buying you out. And so he has gone back to training with Art Sherman. They sent him to, what was the place he rested over the summer? TaylorMade, I think, where he's going to be probably standing to stud. So he went there. He spent the entire summer gaining weight and getting back together, put back together. And now he's back at the barn. And what's really neat is California Chrome went to Art Sherman's place, of course, and they ended up knocking down a wall in between the stalls, and they name it a California King. So now he's got a California King size stall. And apparently he looks amazing and he is fit to be tied. He there's a YouTube video of it, and basically you could see how excited he was. He's whinnying as he kind of gets there, and probably the smell hits him and he's going to go back to it. And they, like Art Sherman says, he's taken us to spots few have been, and it's exciting to have a horse like that, but I don't like to backpedal in this business. Things have a way of turning around. What goes around comes around, and I'm a big believer of that in life. It's going to be a challenge to get him back to his peak, but there's a chance he could be a better horse. You don't know. If he's better, he's going to be an awesome horse next year. He also said he hasn't had a saddle on him in over 3 months, and he's a lot of horse. I'm glad I'm not getting on him, because he might be doing a couple handstands.
He's a stallion, right?
Yeah.
Because isn't this what you usually hear about what they would do with a gelding?
Yeah, it definitely does. It sounds very similar to something like that. But I guess they just wanted to keep running him and get him a better legacy, maybe.
Well, you know, they have their 15 minutes of fame. Probably never going to see it again. So they're going to.
No, I mean, the horse is phenomenal. Yeah, so is phenomenal. He's a lucky pulpit. I mean, he's got decent breeding. So I think he's going to be. Maybe he's bigger and stronger and a little bit older now.
I say they retired the other ones too early, so here we go.
So they're just kind of gifting him back in our lap to watch. And what they are saying is that they want to, I mean, they've already kind of planned his five-year-old year. They said it's going to take 90 days to kind of get him back to training, and they're just going to tack walk him around the barn for now. But they are planning on another run at the Dubai World Cup next year and the Breeders' Cup. So plan on running him all year next year. So we're going to see a lot more of him, hopefully if things, he stays nice and sound and happy. So play it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I closed it already.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
That was much better anyway. That's better than Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, I'm better than you.
Well, speaking of a horse that we have known for years and years and years and years, actually, I think probably about 15 years since the late 90s, that's Fergus the horse. And everybody knows Fergus. It's the cartoon horse that we've all seen a million times. And, you know, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but Fergus is actually a cartoon and is actually drawn by somebody. It's not real, although we'd like to think he is. He actually has an artist behind him, and that artist is Jean Abernathy, and she's a friend of ours, and we asked her to come on this morning because she has some exciting things coming up. Hi, Jean.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's lovely to be here, Glenn. Thanks for the opportunity.
Fergus is like 15 years old. When I read that, I was like, yeah, he's kind of been in my life forever.
Yeah, he's been around a while. Yeah.
And, you know, I think probably since Facebook, he's just become so much more popular. I saw that you guys, or that Fergus, actually passed 300,000 fans on Facebook. Facebook must have done him a world good.
Facebook did. I learned to use Facebook in 2012 and started coloring my old comics and putting them out there. And I watched in astonishment myself as the likes would come in and the comments would come in. I love these fans. They are just amazing. And yeah, it was Facebook that allowed me to show Fergus to the whole world rather than just a few print magazines. And apparently the whole world really likes him.
Well, you know, you do a great job with him, and he has such personality. I think that's what, and he shows up in the oddest places. But he has such personality, and that's what makes him work. But now, I know a lot of artists, I don't want to get all serious here, but I did want to ask you this question. I know a lot of artists were upset at the beginning of Facebook because their cartoons and different things, their drawings and things were being shared without their permission. And then they finally figured out that that was probably a good thing for their business. Were you ever upset that it was being disseminated? I mean, Fergus, everybody shared Fergus. Did that bother you at first, or was that something you just said, hey, look, this is good for my business ultimately?
Well, there's always a certain amount of risk at just hanging the images out there because, you know, copyright laws are not viewed in the same way all around the world. However, the flip side of that is I can actually show the whole world what I've got. And so, you know, yeah, it is a double-edged sword, but thanks to Facebook, now the world knows about Fergus, and now Fergus can really get a toehold, so to speak, and, you know, we're moving forward fast. It's an absolute blast.
Now, he's had posts that have gone over a million, right?
Yes. The one, I've had one post go over a million. That was last New Year's. And, you know, often I make this up as I go. And so New Year's, I'm thinking, well, I got to put something out there for my fans. And I literally threw this thing together and I posted it. And then I left my computer and poured a glass of wine and went to the party. And and within about, it took about 30 days, but yeah, there was 1,440,000 as a post reach on that one. And it blew my mind.
Which one was it?
I actually sat at the computer with my mom and dad and made up that little poem. It was really fun.
isn't it that way though? The ones that you think are going to go huge don't. And then the ones you just throw out there, you're like, oh my God, you know?
Often it is. Yeah, I put some out that I think they really tickle my ribs, and the people just don't respond. And that is disappointing. Or if the numbers go down a little, you know, even if the numbers go down 2 or 3, that kind of hurts. Because I just want to have fun with these people. You know, and when they go up, it's an absolute rush. And I don't know if you saw the one I put up last night. Did you see the one about the fly?
The one about the fly? No, I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny because I used a different technique. I actually photographed my own hand drawing Fergus with a charcoal pencil. And there's a fly in the
drawing. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, search Fergus on Facebook and take a look at that one because that was really fun. But the whole time, because it's so different than the others, I sat there thinking, oh, is this going to be funny or are they going to not like it? And the funniest part was, and my fans will never see this, the whole time I was drawing that and getting it ready, there was this fly walking around on my forearms and walking on my hands and buzzing around on my computer screen. And it's like he was saying, Gene, it's okay. They'll like this one.
I do like that one. I just saw it. It's very funny. And then I saw, too, you know, your most iconic one, I think, through the years that everybody has seen is your Christmas card. And that's the one with all the horses lined up, and some of them with their butts and some of them with the front. And they're all different sizes and shapes and down to little foal. That has to be the most iconic one, isn't it?
The people just love that one. Yeah, I've got it on coffee cups, and I've got it on T-shirts, and I did a winter version, put it on Christmas cards. Yeah, the people just soak that up, and I actually have a few different versions of it because I need a longer row of horses to wrap around a coffee cup. And so some versions have the Norwegian Fjord and a couple of extras, and the one on the T-shirt has fewer characters because it needs a different proportion. And so when the one shows up with the Norwegian fjord, of course, I get all these fjord people hailing that one, saying, oh, look, there's a fjord, and they'll share it with their friends. It's such a good fun. But really, that one's infinite. I can make up as many horses as I need for that one.
One that really hit me was a while back, and we did a whole story and had the guests on, had the authors of the book, and we read the book Sergeant Reckless, and we spent some time on it here on the show, and then Fergus got to visit the statue.
Yes.
That was very cool.
I really wanted to do something for Veterans Day, and so anytime I've done anything involving a little sentiment, and I've done also a post for Remembrance Day here in Canada, November 11th is Remembrance Day. But anytime I do something with a little sentiment in it, the fans just soak that up too. And that's fun. Yeah, so I had Fergus's ears looking at Sergeant Reckless, and oh gosh, what did he say? You know, thank you for your example of bravery or something like that.
Right.
And that got a huge reaction.
Well, I think it was very cool, and you know, we spent so much time on it and talked about it and talked with the people who did it and built that statue that it was really cool to see you jump in there too, or Fergus jump in there rather. Now, Fergus, you've actually made money through the years by mugs and cards and T-shirts and all of that stuff, but now Fergus decided to put out his first book.
Yes, Fergus has our first book, and this is really exciting. It'll be on the market probably within 2 weeks to purchase online and distribute to bookstores. And I have my first advance copy has arrived, And I'm very, very pleased. It's published by Trafalgar Square Books. And I tell you what, those people at Trafalgar Square Books have been a class act from the get-go.
They are.
Oh, my goodness. They do a good job. I was absolutely chuffed when they contacted me after they received my prospectus. They contacted me by email within about 2 hours after they received my prospectus. And I jumped for joy. It was great.
So is the book just his comics?
It also involves a little backstory about my own career and a little bit of history of how I started cartooning and how Fergus came to be, because I drew generic horses for several years before I finally decided to make a singular character. So the book tells a little bit about how that all evolved, and the majority of it, though, is, yes, it's an anthology on these comics that have been showing up on Facebook.
Well, I one of the things you can do if you go over to horseandriderbooks.com is you can pre-order the book. It's not available yet, but you can pre-order it on there. Put your name on the list. But the one thing they do is they give you the first chapter for free. So you can head over there in a PDF, and I was actually looking at that this morning and reading all the comics. And I love the Laughter Keeps Us Sane page because it caught me so off guard. That's like the fourth page in the book. But it is it's great. It's just a great, this would make a wonderful Christmas gift for any horse person.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm going to end up giving away an awful lot of these. It's been a lot of years in the making. And so, you know, because these cartoons span 10 or 15 years, and then I had 10 or 15 years of cartooning before Fergus arrived. So it's been a long time coming, and I'm absolutely thrilled with it. And very proud of Trafalgar Square Books. They've done such a wonderful job on it.
Oh, well, you've done a wonderful job with it. I, Glenn, would like to request the Sense of Direction Equine Compass shirt, please.
You need that one.
That is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yes. What does north mean when the barn is more important?
Yeah, it's each direction, no barn, no barn, no barn, and then the one side that has the barn.
Oh, my goodness. And the little horse that I have now, she has a major barn magnet. Oh my goodness. It's just hilarious.
You know, the other thing I like that you did was the barn signs, the hangy signs that you can put on the stall signs. Because you have the one that says, caution, do not cross tie, and then allergies one, you can write on one. They're really cool. I love those. That was a great idea.
Those are doing well for us. They're distributed by Kelly and Company out of Ohio. The Kellys manufacture and distribute those. And yeah, if you scroll down on Fergus's Facebook page, you have to go down a bit now, but there are links there to folks who are retailing those. And they're handy. You know, some people like to give their horses treats, and some really don't want to go there. And so it's frustrating when guests come into the barn and they're doling out mints and candies and horses are getting too bushy and too nippy. And so hopefully those signs will help that. And there's a no smoking sign and sweep up after yourself sign and just little things that promote barn rules, but do it in a way that's fun and positive.
Well, the book is The Essential Fergus. You can find it on horseandriderbooks.com. We'll put a link to it in our show notes, and Jennifer will put a link on Facebook as well. You know, what the heck? Walmart has all the Christmas stuff out already. We're going to make our first Christmas recommendation here on the show, and that is, this is your, if you're looking for the book that any horse person would like of any age, it does not matter. It's $19.95, so it's affordable, and it will bring a lot of smiles, and it's going to become a coffee table book in a lot of houses. So thank you so much, Gene, for bringing us 15 years of the most entertaining cartoon horse that we have in the horse world.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that very much. I hope this little book ends up drifting around a lot of tack rooms and coffee tables and back seats of trucks, and it's a laugh for everybody. And thanks to the fans who've made it all possible. And the objective here is to just have fun. So thank you.
All right, Gene. Take care. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. See ya.
Bye now.
He is. He's kind of like iconic, right?
Oh, yeah. He's so stinking cute. I can't stand it. I was looking at her page. I'm like, I had to stop because I was getting so distracted by, I want that. I want that. I want that.
I know you went quiet. Usually means one of two things. You're distracted by something or you're shopping. So in this case, it was both.
I'm distracted by our guests. So how about that?
Well, we have another some more guests coming up here. We're going to switch gears and go into our health segment for the day. And we're going to do that right after we hear from Uncle Jimmy's. And we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
That's right. It is time for our health segment. And of course, Rutgers Equine Science Center helps us out with this quite often. And they have brought us today two vet students that we're going to talk to about what it's like to be in vet school. And we have Lizzie here with us. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, good morning.
And I think we have Cheryl here as well. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning.
And Dr. Malinowski's hanging around somewhere.
Hi, girls.
Hi, Dr.
Malinowski.
Well, now, let's do this one at a time or we'll be confused here. And I want to start with the one who's just, who has been in the program the longest, and that's Lizzie. Lizzie, you graduated from Rutgers in 2010, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you should be, like, finishing vet school at this point.
You would think that. I actually took 2 years off after I graduated from Rutgers, and I worked full-time, and then took another 2 years to get my master's degree, so I'm now in my second year of vet school, so I will finish in another 2.5 years.
So now, I got to ask you, we all hear the stories of how hard it is to get into vet school. You need like a 12.0, you know, you can only get four, but you need like a 12. So is it that hard?
I mean, it's pretty hard. There are only so many vet schools in the country, less than 30. So that's actually why I got my master's degree. My grades from undergrad weren't competitive enough. So that's why I went and did that. And I think that's what got me in. So, but I had to, you know, move out of New Jersey for 2 years and get a whole nother degree just to get in.
And what'd you do your master's in?
My master's was in animal science. I thought I was going to do some research with horses, but I ended up working with mice. And it was interesting.
Well,
it wasn't
legs.
Exactly what I wanted, but yes, that's true. Very small horses.
Yeah, there you go. So now you must have had to kick butt, though. If your undergrad grades weren't terrific, you must have had to kick butt in your master's.
I did have to kick butt, and I set out to kick butt, and I did, and now I'm here in vet school, so it worked out.
Well, congratulations on that. I want to bring Cheryl we'll come back to you, Lizzie. I want to bring Cheryl into the conversation now. Cheryl, now you graduated recently. You're like in your first year, right, of vet school?
I am. I'm a brand new baby in vet school. We just started a few months ago, so just made it through my first round of exams.
Now, you're at Tennessee College?
I am.
Okay. So now, your first year, are you into any of the really gross stuff yet?
Well, we're dissecting a dog right now, so our gross anatomy lab is pretty gross.
That had Jamie out.
I'm done.
We wouldn't make it 10 minutes in vet school, Jamie. Neither one of us.
I would like to think I would have been a great vet, and then I hear things like that where I'm like, yeah, no, I'm done.
So you're both in this. What, you know, Cheryl, what's the hardest part? What's the hardest part of vet school compared to undergrad?
Time management is definitely the hardest part. We're in class from about 8 a.m. to about 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then we're supposed to put in about 30 to 40 hours a week of studying on top of that and get 7 hours of sleep a night and have a social life. So time management is important.
There's not supposed to be a social life. You know better than that. You've given up your social life forever, especially I think one of you girls wants to go into equine surgery. Yeah, you're done.
So how does it compare? Is it just like a total shock after undergrad?
Actually, I think Rutgers prepared me very well for what I'm encountering now. The science classes, like the caliber of science classes that we took at Rutgers, have really helped prepare me for vet school. I'm not having as hard of a time as I thought I would in my physiology class, and a lot of that I have Dr. McKeever and Dr. Malinowski to thank. And I just think overall Rutgers prepares students well for any graduate program, even in professional program.
So they worked you to death, is what you're saying. I got it. Dr. Malinowski is a slave driver.
That's right.
You're reading between the lines.
She owns whips. I mean,
I'll let Dr.
horses.
Dr. Malinowski field that question.
You're graduated now. You don't have to suck up to Dr. Malinowski anymore.
Hey, Jamie and Glenn, yeah. I'm glad that Cheryl mentioned that, because one of the questions I was going to ask them is what, especially about their program here at Rutgers, helped them in their veterinary studies. So that was good, Cheryl, that you did mention that. Thanks.
The hard work.
The hard work. She didn't mention the partying. She left that out. Because you have to get that out of the way before vet school. You don't have time after vet school to do that. Pretty much for the rest of your life, right, Dr. Malinowski?
Yes. It only gets worse.
Then you're on call 24 hours a day. And what do you want to do, Cheryl, with you want to be large animal horse? Or what do you want to do?
Yeah, right now I'm looking at equine emergency medicine.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
but
Cheryl,
I'd like to do emergency medicine of any kind.
Cheryl, meet one of your... sleep as you can now, yeah. Because I will be calling you at 2 a.m. Because colic surgery never happens at 9 a.m.
No.
It always happens at 2
nope.
a.m.
No.
Babies never come at 2 in the afternoon either.
No.
They're always
no.
at 2 in the morning. I don't know why that is. Human or equine.
And Lizzie, I think Lizzie also wants to do surgery. Is that right, Lizzie?
I actually am very interested in emergency medicine as well, equine especially. I've been working really closely with some of the emergency clinicians here, and I just love it.
Well, Lizzie, meet Jamie. She's going to help you buy a boat.
Yes. Hi. Nice to meet you. I will be seeing you. Question. You guys are both interested in emergency medicine. And let's see. Lizzie... what exactly do you have a background in horses? Are you a horse chick? Are you kind of new to the horse world?
No, I am. I've had horses for about 20 years. Grew up in New Jersey riding horses and went to Rutgers and did. I went through the equine science program, and I worked at New Jersey Equine Clinic for a number of years before graduate school, so I am all horse all the time, except for that mouse section of my life.
And Cheryl, are you a horse girl too?
I am. I've had horses for almost 17 years, and grew up a horse girl in New Jersey, and then came to Rutgers, found the Equine Science Center, had an equine science minor, worked a lot with Dr. McKeever and Dr. Malinowski in the equine physiology lab at Rutgers. And then came to vet school, and I'm sticking with the equine track for now.
And Cheryl, you're the one who's dissecting a dog right now. Is that the right one?
true.
Okay, so here's my question. Being horse people and knowing you want to go into horses, is it super frustrating to have to even deal with all the other animals? Like, just be like, I can skip the cats. I don't need to know about cats. I'm not going to work on cats. Do you just try to fake it and get through it, or are you trying to learn it? Because my vet is like, don't even bring me a dog, my horse vet.
Well, I think it's important to learn as much as you can about as many species as you can. Number one, because then when we do horse anatomy next semester, I've already seen it once. And number two, every farm has a cat, every farm has a dog, at least once. And imagine how impressed your clients will be when you come up to the barn and something's wrong with their dog or cat, and they don't have to call another vet or go to another vet. You can help them out with most of their minor needs.
Lizzie, is that?
So
do you feel
it's important to learn?
Do you feel the same, Lizzie? Are you like, because you're a little bit further along? Are you like over the monkeys? You know, like bring
no.
me the horses.
I feel the same way. Not only I always say that my calling is horses and barn cats, but not only do you have can you you know. Open yourself up to that, but you also have to go into the clinics in your last year, and you have to treat dogs and cats, and then you have to take your national boards, which is, I think, is around 60 or 70% small animal.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to learn it. You know, it's funny because you watch the non-horse people try to learn horses, and they're the ones that get really frustrated.
Yeah, I bet. Dr. Malinowski, I have a question for you. So if you're going to tell prospective students listening right now who are just coming into college and they want to become vets, what's the piece of advice that you give them?
I think... study hard, you know, certainly keep your grades at the top of your class, but most importantly, and what gives the Rutgers University graduates an edge with any other people trying to get into vet school, and Cheryl and Lizzie were both of those, do independent research projects while you're here, you know, volunteer and participate in other events that get you to network with people in the horse industry. And both of those young ladies were stellar in that regard. And I think that carries them, you know, they can talk the lingo. They don't just go in their interviews and say, oh, I love horses, that's why I want to be a vet. No, they have been in the trenches with us. They have the independent research project background, and they can talk science with people who are interviewing them. It gives our young people an advantage every single time.
What do they need GPA to even be considered now for vet school?
I think, 3.4, 3.5. You know, you don't need to be at the top of your class. You don't need a 4. I think, Glenn and Jamie, it's much, I know it's tough, girls, you're gonna yell at me, to get into veterinary school. But think about in the 70s, one reason why I did not go to veterinary school and went to the PhD route was because in the 70s, there were very few veterinary schools in the United States, and the predominance was still male class. And so it is easier. I mean, you needed a 4.0 to get into vet school in the 70s if you were a young woman. But today, there's more competition. There are more veterinary schools, and so they need students.
Is it the other way? Well, that's a good point, Dr. Malinowski. Now, ladies, is it the other way now? Are most of your classmates female now, or is it half and
half?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have 12 boys in my class.
Yeah, we have 111 total people in our class, and I think maybe 15 are men.
Isn't that funny how that's just totally flipped?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Why is that? We pick on them all the time.
It shows you that men don't want to work that hard anymore.
I heard that coming.
They go into human medicine.
You think that's true?
I think the human med side of things, I think they have more men, at least 50-50. It's easier, and they make more money. So
yeah, exactly. That's the big thing, I think, there. You know, though, I look at it from the guy's point of view. If I'm, you know, one of 15 out of 120, I'm thinking that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I'm thinking my chances of actually meeting a girl that will go out with me is pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would need that ratio, by the way. That's, just saying. Well, you guys have been delightful. I got to tell you, we've had a lot of college kids on this show, and you are two of the most articulate that we've had.
Thank you.
And I have to be honest, we kind of dread it sometimes, and now we don't have to dread it anymore. As long as they're provided by Dr. Malinowski and Rutgers, we're good.
Glenn, that's the Rutgers University education. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck with the dogs. And
thank you.
And with your careers. We'll look forward to hearing back from you.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks,
Dr. Malinowski. It's always fun.
Have a great day, Glenn.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, they really were the two of the most delightful ones we've had on.
Oh, absolutely. Total sweetie. And Dr. Malinowski is just so cool.
I know. She's so much fun. Well, it makes you want to go to Rutgers, you know?
I know. I feel like I missed the calling. I need to go be the equine science, animal science at Rutgers. Gosh darn it.
Have you ever even been to New Jersey?
I drove through it once. And I know we have a ton of listeners from there. And I'm really sorry. Just invite me over. I'll come.
Well, you know what, though? Because that's usually what... that's 90% of the population. I drove through it once. I saw Newark. You
know, I've been stuck in the Newark airport. That gave me a bad taste.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky you didn't leave the airport. That would have even given you a worse taste.
Oh, gosh.
And the rest of New Jersey is wonderful. Southern New Jersey is beautiful, actually. Yeah. So I'm trying to appease the all of our New Jersey listeners, which there are a lot of.
You're starting to make everybody mad, aren't you?
It is beautiful, actually, in Southern New Jersey. Spent a lot of time there. Well, that was great. We're so glad that they were able to join us, and we really appreciate that. And I think that Dr. Chang's going to be with us in just a minute. But first, I have to tell you about something that happened in Dallas. Right outside of Dallas, we had it happen again, Jamie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Two cowboys, or actually it was a rodeo. It was a local rodeo down there, and a whole bunch of cowboys decided to get drunk. Well, what happens when the cowboys in Texas get drunk?
Fights.
Yes, they decided to have have what they called a riot. So they all started fighting, and the police showed up in force. Apparently there was one cop there when all of this started. So he called in reinforcements. All the cops showed up. Well, they all scattered because that's what happens when you have a brawl. They all scattered. Well, a couple of them decided that the best way to get away, because it's Texas, is how?
Hop on their horse.
Horseback. Yes, we're just going to ride down the road drunk while on horseback. Well, they had actually the cameras in the police cars following the one of them. So that's on the article, which is always interesting to watch. They caught him rather quickly using the dash cam. And then the other one actually got away, hit his horse in the backyard of a family's house. Apparently, they had a little fence, so he just rode in and dropped his horse off and took off. Well, the police found him, caught him. They had to use a taser to stop him, though. So they got it. I don't know what these drunk cowboys think that riding the horse is going to help them get away faster.
Well, I don't like, so there's a bunch of people and they all scatter, but these two guys hop on their horse and they're the ones that get caught. That's weird.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the others got caught. That was not part of the story. They got charged with, this is if they stayed, they've been charged with a misdemeanor, right? But now they got resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication.
And DUI. Our DUIs.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Well, those boys in Texas will never learn.
I know. I'd love them. Giddy up.
Hey, we got Dr. Chang here.
Yes, let's get Dr. Chang on. I'm sure he's never been drunk and hopped on a horse and galloped away.
Not in Texas.
Well, I definitely haven't been on a horse galloping drunk down anywhere in Texas. I can guarantee you that one, but I can't guarantee you about the other one in my younger days.
Maybe in Canada. But what happens in Canada stays in Canada typically, Glenn. So we'll never know.
There you go.
Well, how are you, Dr.
But they're
Chang?
Nice drunks up in Canada. I'm just saying.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yes, and I do believe I'm a nice drunk when I do get drunk. I don't do that too often, which is a good thing. Saves a couple of brain cells every so often when you do that, you know what I mean?
That's actually genius, Dr. Chang, is you can create some sort of brain cell rebuilder for like an like alpha line for when somebody drinks too much. So you just, here you go. Here's the elixir of hangover.
I I am sure there are people working on that. I can guarantee dollars to donuts that there's somebody working on that.
And if they actually ever
successful, they are, but they are working
well,
on it.
Well, if they're successful sometime, you can retire now because that's going to be a bestseller.
That's great. Well, what we're going to actually talk to Dr. Chang about today is winter supplementation. And, you know, it's fall now in most places, and winter is coming, especially where you are, Dr. Chang. It's probably getting pretty darn cold already. And
I was just going to say, wintertime is tough for horses up in the eastern seaboard, up in the cool north, even in the U.S. of A., except when you get down to Florida, it's nicer. There's no such thing as winter, right?
Well, that's why people go there. So
yes, the horses, half of the Canadian over 65 population ends up in Florida. You know, you do know that.
Yes, I know. They're all my neighbors in the wintertime.
You see, there you go. The snowbirds, they all migrate down, right?
I have to tell you, Dr. Chang, though, my pony gets really chilly when it gets under about 55 degrees. I'm just saying.
Winter.
You probably don't get too much of that down there, do you?
Actually, in the winter, we will get down into the 40s.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You're just making everybody mad.
I know.
So, Dr. Chang, back to winter supplementation for those who have winter. What are some of the things that you would recommend kind of taking care of before? I guess you're probably kind of more of a proactive kind of person. So what are some of the things you would recommend taking a look at and keeping an eye on?
Well, one of the first things I would probably do for your horses for the wintertime is to beef up their immune system. Because, you know, under any kind of stress, the immune system is the first one to take attack. So, you know, we have several things for that. We have something called a healthy horse. We have Immune Plus. And basically what these things will do, it'll boost the immune system of the horse, right? Okay. Another thing that you should look after is their food intake. You need higher calorie intake in the wintertime. Up north, anywhere there's a lot of snow where the temperature really dips. And that's important because the horses burn a lot more calories just to keep warm. So because they're burning more calories, they need more calories in. So because you need more calories in and burning more calories, one of the things that you should look at is the ability to digest the food that you give to them. Okay. Right. So again, you make sure you look after their probiotics in their gut. Make sure they have a healthy microflora there, because unlike people, the cecum in the horse is very important, because a lot of digestion doesn't occur only by the enzymes in the horse's body, but a lot of digestion occurs because of the symbiotic relationship between the microflora in the cecum and the gut and the food intake from the horse. So basically, the bacteria, the good bacteria, digest out a lot of that food, the proteins, etc., and then provides it to the horse to just absorb. And feeding the bacteria at the same time. So it's a very powerful symbiotic relationship. It's an important symbiotic relationship.
Okay.
Right. I know I'm rushing here, but things like vitamin intakes, that's another important thing, especially some like vitamin D, because if you keep your horses inside, he's not seeing the sunshine as much. So vitamin D is one of those important ones. You can supplement them with that. You know, vitamin C, vitamin E, again, in the wintertime, they need extra of those things, because vitamin C is important. I mean, the horses make their own vitamin C, but older horses don't make as much vitamin C as younger horses. And you need some from external sources to supplement whatever they make.
Okay.
So, you know, so again, we have a product called Vantiox, vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, and zinc. It's all inside there. So these are things that will also boost the immune system, but it's a source of all these vitamins.
Okay, so and especially for older horses. And I was going to ask you about Minarex too. Does that also have the E and C?
It doesn't have the E and C, but it has the vitamin D, it has the B complex, but it also has a lot of minerals, right? Like the calcium, the magnesium, the zinc, the copper, and all those type of things inside there. So it's an important source of minerals to, as a supplement. This product would be more as a preventative, just a, as an additional supplementation to your horses.
Okay.
But one of the things I should also talk about here is respiratory, because unless you have your horses outside all the time, in the wintertime, a lot of people tend to keep their horses inside, depending on the part of the country that they're in, of course. But if you keep your horses on the inside of the barn, you know, when people clean out their barns, especially in the winter, the washing down of the barns, etc., the barns really never gets a chance to dry out properly. So sometimes in the wintertime, you know, you get mold growth, right? And if your horses are there all the time, they're sniffing the mold, some of them come down with respiratory issues, meaning that they may have allergies, or you may see them runny nose, etc., right?
That, well, just not getting enough fresh air, too, can cause problems.
That's right. Right. So one of the things to help them with some of that, you know, we have the Respirefree product. We also have Airways and Lung Flush. These things will help clean up the lungs, help keep the air passages open. Right. So you get they're a lot more comfortable that way. But the easiest fix is to make sure they get lots of fresh air, run them around on the outside. But again, saying that, it depends on which part of the country you're in. Sometimes that is not feasible because it's too cold, right?
Now,
but
right, mm-hmm. right. Now, I have a question about sometimes, you know, using multiple products, can you cause a problem with over-supplementation? And I'll tell you why I'm asking this question, is I have a horse that is basically a poster child for Omega Alpha products. My horse Norman cut his leg, and it went to a resulting bone infection, where then he had to be on stall rest. Now, granted, our stalls are outside and very airy, so not closed in anywhere, but I am giving him several different supplements, one being Biotic 8. He's been on antibiotics for, oh my gosh, for a month now. So I thought Biotic 8 would be an important thing. My vet actually said to put him on a probiotic. So we've got him on that. And then the stress of being in the stall and his horse's friends are out. And so I put him on Gastra FX. And then also, because he had a huge swollen leg, Anti-Flam. So he is like a commercial for you guys right now. Is there a problem with overlap of supplements or over-supplementation with your products?
With our products, the answer is no. To be fair, all of our products, if you double, triple, quadruple dose a thing for 6 months at a time, nothing bad happens. The worst that will happen, if anything happens, you'll see diarrhea. If you get diarrhea, just back off on whatever it is you've given them, right?
Okay.
All the years we've been doing this, we haven't had anybody complain to us that their horses had diarrhea on anything we produce. Right. So, you know, the short answer to that is no.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So
and then
you can keep on giving them whatever they need. Sometimes you just got to give them whatever they need.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So we don't have to worry about over supplementing anything. And then is there anything that you recommend for bone health? I'm going to have to start
Menorec, definitely for bone health, because it has that calcium, the magnesium, etc., and that helps dull the bone strength, right? Because bone is a lot of minerals in there, and to build it, you gotta have them floating around in that little bloodstream. And once it's, then the body just takes what it needs to build the bone.
And obviously, right? that would be good for the ingredients. That would be good for older horses then too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes though, I tell everybody, you know, it's not just one ingredient you have to give them. You have to think of the body as a whole. And the classic example I mentioned is like when people talk about glucosamine and joint health. Back in the day, everybody says, "Oh, I have a joint problem. I'll give them glucosamine." And with the idea that glucosamine is the one thing and the only thing you need to give them, and it fixes them right up. Well, what they don't realize is glucosamine is just one ingredient. So it's like me saying, well, I want to build a brick wall, and all I need is mortar. So all I need is the cement, right? Mm-hmm. But if I give you the cement and you don't add the water, or you don't add the bricks, or you don't add the sand and the gravel, etc., you can't make a good brick wall. Right. So this is the same idea with joints. if you give you the glucosamine, that's fantastic. But you also need you also need things like collagen, right? You also need things like the minerals, the calcium, the magnesium, the zinc, right? The boron, the silicon, all those things you need. You need vitamin C. You need the B vitamins, because the B vitamins, what they do, they power the enzymes that take the glucosamine to manufacture, to help build up that wall, help rebuild the joint. All those things you need. So it's sometimes the simple equation is not just give glucosamine. You have to look at the whole system as a whole, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at the whole system going into the winter, what is kind of the one definite, this is something you should really consider? Do you have one suggestion for those people that live in wintry areas to start?
Well, definitely, I would say make sure you do biotic eight, because I really believe that if you help the gut keep healthy, the horse will get a lot of the nutrients from the food that you give it. And that in itself will help keep your horse healthy.
Feed
them well, right? And I would, supplementation goes biotic eight and the Minarec, because the Minarec has a lot of B vitamins, has a lot of minerals. That is the basic building blocks for most of the things that your horse would definitely need. So those are the two ingredients I would definitely use. If you don't listen to me about anything else, use those two things.
Well, definitely we listen to you about other things. So you're in good shape there. And we can't thank you enough for coming on every month and making it so so easy for us to understand what goes on in the lab there. So we appreciate it.
My pleasure. You
guys have an Oasis Professional Training. It's a training forum for coaches, trainers, athletes, horse owners, and Omega Alpha is committed to help you learn more about their equine products by offering these free teleseminars and web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Now, the next webinar is going to be the 26th, and it will take a deeper look at winter supplementation. And there's a Q&A after the webinar, and it's easy to register. Just call 1-800-651-3172. That's 1-800-651-3172. And you can ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code. So it's absolutely free. Go check it out. And you can learn more about winter supplementation. And Dr. Chang, thank you so much for being here.
Before I go, I wanted to mention one thing.
Yeah.
The Retired Racehorse Project, the Lexington Retired Racehorse Project. Yeah, Omega Alpha is one of the sponsors of that resource project. And for those of you who go down, it's next week, I believe. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, next week.
And those of our listeners here who go down there, please pop by and say hi to Jeffrey Grimes and or Patty Hanko. We have a booth down there. So just go ask them all the questions you ever wanted to ask, but was afraid to ask.
And pop by
and just say hi. They're good people.
They really are.
They're friendly folks. They don't bite.
That's right. They really are. Yeah, please tell them that you heard about it on Horses in the Morning. We would appreciate that too. Jeff is actually Jamie's supplier.
He's my dealer.
He's
my
dealer. So,
I love him.
But that's really a whole other story that we have to deal with sometimes.
Yeah, he's my dealer. He's super knowledgeable too. And if you have a problem and something going on with your horse, you can just ask Jeff what's going on, and he can pinpoint it, and it will give you a sample of something to try. He's really, really great, and Patty's super nice too. So, all the people at Omega Alpha have been an absolute pleasure to deal with. So we do thank you, Dr. Chen. And so when you guys go, tell them Dr. Chang said they had to come by and say hi.
Dr. Chang, thank you guys. Thank Omega Alpha also for helping out with the Retired Racehorse Project. It's a wonderful program to give second lives to horses who need it. And we appreciate you putting your sponsorship behind it.
It's all a pleasure.
Yeah.
Take care now.
All right. Thanks, absolutely. Dr. Chang.
Thank you. Perfect thing for them to sponsor too, because they help with the horses, with all their supplements, help with the horses on the track and off the track now. So I think it's fantastic. I'm glad that they are a sponsor of that. And us.
Well, it's time for you to go to get your second cup of coffee. So let's hear a little Jared Rogerson with Let's Ride. And we're going to be back with more show in just a minute.
So you want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Oh, girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle, and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, as fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. Ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide, baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you, watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. If you wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, as fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. Ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide, baby, let's ride. Thrill of the adventure takes your breath away. If you're caught up with emotion that you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hooves and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide, baby.
Well, that's Jared Rogerson with Let's Ride. You can find all his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn Nageek here with Jamie Jennings. And producer Jen is sitting there helping us out today. We appreciate that. Well, Monday, Jamie, if you remember correctly, I gave my daily whinny to Sarah Holm, who was from Sweden, one of our Swedish listeners. And then you proceeded to go on Google Translate and embarrass yourself, speaking some Swedish that I am sure was not correct. And then we proceeded to hear from other Swedish listeners, dropped us emails. Some thought you were good and some thought you were awful. Well, we have some help here today. We have Sarah Holm joining us from Sweden to give you a Swedish lesson. Hi, Sarah.
Yay! Hey! Hey, hästarna. Hästnätverket.
Hedge!
Hey, Jamie, how are you? Hedge!
Okay,
hey!
Hey! Is it just hey? It's not hedge?
Hey. No, the J is not like that in Swedish. It's just J.
So it's hey.
Okay. They got like too saying, many letters. They use too many letters in those words.
Well, yeah, supposedly so.
Well, this is a surprise for Jamie. Jamie did not know that Sarah was coming on to help her today.
No. She did not tell me, but her mar do I dag.
Jag mår bra, tack. Hur mår du idag? And then okay. You should say, bra, tack.
I should say what?
You should say, okay, this is a good word for any American. Bra. It's like bra. It bra. Means good. Good.
Bra.
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 It's the same as, you know, the lingerie. Bra.
Bra.
But with an easy another R. So it's B-R-A. Bra.
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 Bra. Bra. Jag mår bra.
Jag mår bra.
Yes, excellent. That's good.
Thank you. Really good. I mean, I told you guys I speak Swedish, so it's not a challenge.
Sort of.
First of all, Sarah, I got to say that we didn't know we had so many Swedish listeners till this all came up on Monday.
But you know, Sweden is such a horsey country. There are horses everywhere, and people. It's a really great, big deal in Sweden. And the horse business and the equestrian games and everything.
Yeah. Now, the Swedish people are probably the most beautiful people in the world. Are the Swedish horses the most beautiful, too? Is it just like the most beautiful country? Are there like songs playing?
I should say so. Yeah, everything is perfect and beautiful. And
rainbows and unicorns and all that stuff.
It happens. Well, it's a nice country and the horses are lovely. I can only speak for them. Horses are lovely. And
do you have horses, Sarah?
Yes.
What
we
do you have?
A small stud from. Yes, we have about 20 horses.
Oh, okay. Vilken tip av riddning går du?
Yeah, okay.
She had no idea what you said.
I just had to think a little bit. Okay. Jag rider dressyr. So I'm
you
in
do
the
dressage.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Yes, very good. But we breed Arabians, Arabian purebreds.
Okay, so I asked her, Glenn, for those who didn't get that.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Americans, I asked her what type of riding she did.
Ja, vilken typ av ridning gör du?
Obviously.
Yes. So, I got it in some time. So that's worth the effort.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool, Glenn. You're not allowed to surprise me with anything. This is something I wasn't prepared. I haven't.
Get this though. Do you want to hear the other thing? You know, we know we have listeners around the world, but we very seldom hear from our listeners in other countries, and so it is cool when we hear from several of them all in a couple of days. But one of the cool things is tell us. You said when we gave you the Daily Winnie on Monday, your daughters, mm-hmm. get this, Jamie. So she has two daughters that live in Toronto, Canada, that were listening to the show. They listen also, and they heard their mom, and then they called you up, and they like, "Were what'd you do, Mom?" They thought you did something wrong.
Yeah, Mom, what are you doing? What's this? Think about us.
Why are you embarrassing us again?
Something like that.
See, that's just not an American thing.
Yeah.
Now they're bartenders, right? In Toronto.
Yeah, they're bartenders in Toronto. So they're barkeepers.
Okay, so picture
this. Something like that.
Picture this: you got two beautiful girls that are bartending in Toronto. They make a fortune.
They're Swedish. They're beautiful. They're Swedish people are gorgeous. It's not fair. It's like genetic code is like different in Sweden.
Well, you know, some of us get it all. I
can't say. Mom, you're embarrassing us.
Yes. Once and again.
How do you listen to the shows? How do you listen to us?
Sorry?
How do you listen to the show?
On my phone because I don't listen live.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually listen in the morning, the day after it's recorded, since because of the time difference.
Your time's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 6 hours plus. Yeah. So.
Now, do you listen on our app or do you listen on iTunes? What do you do?
On iTunes.
On iTunes. And how'd you find us in the beginning?
Why didn't you ask me to ask her? Because I could just say,
yes, you could say this.
Or do Lasina pa us. Okay. That was how do you listen to us, in case you
didn't. Okay. Got it.
Maybe Glenn should do the talking. Yeah.
I like you, Sarah.
Oh, man.
Man. You've been slapped down by a pretty Swedish girl.
Yes.
Who raises Arabians. So,
yes.
So tell us, how did you find us in the first place? I'm always curious how people in other countries locate horses in the morning.
Well, the thing is, I just started, you know, searching for horse, you know, and dressage on the iTunes. And then the first thing I got was you, your show. Yeah. And
that's right. Just, that's appropriate, isn't it, Jamie? We should be. That's right. Oops.
And then because there are some shows, but not many. And you kind of cover everything worldwide. So it's really nice to tune into you and get updated on so many things. Well, and I also shop things because of you.
You did. She actually bought some, you bought some of the shoulder relief girths and had them shipped over from who we advertise on the dressage show. You had them shipped over from here.
Yes, 5 days, and they're here. It's fantastic.
Do you love them?
I do. I'm still trying them out because they do move the saddle quite a bit, and it's a little bit. It really is a big difference, and the horses need some time to adjust, really. but I really like them, and everything moves back a little bit, and of course there's some time needed to adjust.
Well, yeah, the idea is to keep the saddle off their withers and to keep it back. That's the idea with this.
Yeah, and you really see them move in another way in some of the movements, some of the things you do. Wow. So I think it will be really a good.
Her English is so much better than your Swedish, though.
No,
Jamie.
I was going to ask her a question, okay. Glenn, if you'll give me a second. But Narvil du at jag skap barata Glenn at jag jag ar din favorit vard.
You could do that. They can do your anu. You can do it right away. It's
okay.
Fine.
You can tell them. You can tell them.
Okay. Jamie really wants me to let you know that she's my favorite host.
Yes. Because she... That's my ringtone. Right there.
Jennifer's now marked that I'm cut it out and play it in future shows.
Except take out the part where Jamie wants me to tell you.
Well.
Now, what do you do with your Arabians? Do you do dressage or endurance, or what do you do?
Well, as of now, I just have one really good one, and she's quite young, so we haven't started competing yet. And I have a thoroughbred, a retired racehorse, really, that we do some work with. And she's done some eventing, but she's prone to do good dressage. So we're working with her now. But I had this accident a few years ago, so I'm cut back a little bit in my training. But we're starting to show this spring. So, again. So that's what we do. And then I have a few youngsters I think will be really great on the saddle as well.
Oh wow. So you say you're cutting back. I'd hate to see what it was like before.
Oh. Well, a little bit more busy, but that's the way it is. You know, you start with a few horses and then they kind of multi.
Let's see, that happens in other countries too, Jamie. It's not just in your backyard.
Yeah.
So do the girls, do your girl, your bartender girls ride?
They did, but I think that they got fed up, actually. And, you know, they are in Toronto because they are hockey fans.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're in the right place.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah. They are. And they find it so... you know, they go to the games and they get to know the people that they're in the business, hockey business, and I think they have some sort of plan with it. Uh-huh. I assume it is like marrying a hockey guy. I hope it's not.
Sarah, the thing all mothers dream of is let my daughter, you know what though? They probably got a great shot at it. They're just probably the most gorgeous blonde headed Swedish beauties on the planet.
Something like that. Yes.
She's not a proud mama.
Yeah.
And they're never going to listen to this show again.
Oh, you guys. That's so cool that they listen to, and that's wonderful. You guys can share horses. And what happens with these girls is as they are definitely out there trying to make some money right now, but they always come back to horses. And you know that, especially when they marry hockey players with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Then they have a lot of money for horses.
Yes, yeah. They can.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because money is always, you're always short on cash when you have horses. And if you're young, then it's very hard. So,
Well, Sarah, come back. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you helping me surprise Jamie with this.
Yeah, this was really fun. I look forward to listen to you tomorrow morning.
underbar daiga.
Yes, you have a wonderful day too.
See, I'm so good.
You are. You're amazing. Getting it. She's actually understanding what you're saying, which is amazing.
Slowly but surely, you're getting there. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I see a road trip, Jamie. Road trip.
It's going to be a pretty wet road.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Sarah. Bye. Oh my gosh, my cheeks hurt from smiling. That was so fun.
See, some of the surprises I have for you are good.
Not many of them, but this was a good one.
This was a good one. She wrote back to me the other day. Remember, we heard from a couple other of our Swedish listeners, too. And they said, well, Jamie didn't do too bad. It was like, and I was like, well, you got to come on and give her a Swedish lesson. And she's like, I have Skype. She sounded like she was in the same room with us. And then I said, is your English any good? Her English is better than ours. Like, you know what she said? I said, how did your English get so good? And she said, we watch American TV and it's all subtitled. So you learn it. So she said, everybody over here speaks English because we're watching American TV.
Interesting. Is that how I need to learn Spanish? Just start watching the Spanish channel?
Spanish channel, but you'll need to put the subtitles on. Because
that's true.
Yeah, it's the only way you're going to figure that out. But good for her, and thank you to all of our foreign listeners, Europe or wherever you're listening, for listening. We'd love to hear from you and get you on the show. So drop us a note.
I speak many languages.
Yes,
so
she is multilingual.
If you are interested.
She speaks 100 different languages, thanks to Google.
It's not true. It's all in here in my head.
Well, there you go. That's what I had for you, my surprise.
I was like, what are we going to do for the last half hour of the show? I was like, I knew
you'd be panicking. I was surprised you didn't ask that in a meeting. I was waiting for you to say, well, what are we going to do the last half hour? Well, I have lists, so we could do some lists.
Well, you just crammed too many guests. I figured they'd all run over. Good. You kept it pretty tight. So,
I didn't even. I think I told Jennifer just briefly that we were going to have another guest. So I kept this one at the vest. Sarah and I, we were co-conspirators.
Okay. Thank
you just love
much.
The fact that just the connections and podcasts are amazing. We have there she is listening. Her daughters aren't even into any horses anymore, and they listen to our show. They heard their mom talked about on Monday. I mean, it's just it's kind of neat.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really something you didn't get in the local market, right? When you're in Atlanta, you had a lot of listeners, but you didn't have these kind of worldwide connections that make it so special.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So the listeners and that are so local that you kind of don't even think outside of your little neighborhood, you know, and here you have to think globally. It's really, really cool.
And we try to do stories from other countries, which is hard for us sometimes because we just don't get them.
Well, maybe I should start translating.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem is most of the Swedish articles are not in English. So
I'll start working on that, Glenn.
We can have Sarah come on. She's very well spoken. We can have her come on and give us the Swedish report every month or two and give us the Swedish update. They don't need help. They have a ton of horses. It's such a horse culture over there, completely different than here.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, there's your surprise for the day, Jamie.
All right. Thanks very much. Let's get out of here.
Let's do that. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tomorrow. What do we have tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's Thursday.
What do we have tomorrow, Jennifer?
Isn't CHA tomorrow?
No, it would be the trail ride show, right? because the week's kind of, the month's kind of, we don't even know what shows are what.
You guys are going to have to just come tomorrow.
It's the Trail Ride show tomorrow.
Out.
It's the NATRC tomorrow. This month's kind of messed up because of the Tuesdays and Thursdays are off. But, and we're working hard to get shows recorded for you so that you'll have a bunch of new shows, even while we're at Jamie's and on vacation at the Grand Canyon. So that we'll have a bunch of shows for you then too. So we're working hard to get those done right now as well. I got to tell you, the number one show, do you want to take a guess at what the number one episode was last month on Horses in the Morning?
I was going to say Horses in the Morning, obviously.
Well, the number one episode, yeah.
last month, the number one episode was, oh gosh. Oh
and
gosh,
you were not in it.
Oh, never mind. I don't care. I didn't listen.
Horse Husbands.
Oh, what? Ever.
Number one episode. All those women were listening, wanting to see what we had to say. Just saying.
We had the owner of Keen Ice on. We had some huge.
None of that mattered. Horse Husbands was the number one episode.
Whatever. I don't care. If I'm not in it, I don't care.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. And we'll be back on Friday. Oh, really bad ads. Don't forget to get your ads in. We've had a lot of people sending ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, but you're putting the links. Do not put the links. You have to copy and paste the entire ad because Jennifer may not get to it in a couple days, and then they're gone. So you
and enough with the screenshots, people.
Just copy and paste the ad, right? I know that's hard to do on your phones, and that's why people do that. But go back to your computers and do it. It just makes it easier. And that way, you're kind of guaranteed to get your ad in.
Yeah, so. If you screenshot it, she can't put it into our text that we use to do the show when we read the ad. So I would think screenshotting would be fine, but then you realize like she can't move it over to us. So
Just copy and paste the entire ad. Suck it up, people.
There are prizes involved.
That's right. And of course,
work hard.
Of course, Equities. We're going to get our new forks tomorrow. I wanted to tell you that. We're going to do an unboxing of our new Equity Flexin forks tomorrow. So.
Oh, it's angle starts singing.
They're going to be all brand new and shiny. They won't have poop all over them. I'm excited.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the little things we get excited about.
Exactly. Spay neuter geld.
How do you say that in Swedish?
Listen, it's not important to say it right now. I'll have it for you on Friday. Spay neuter geld.